Snap. Crackle. Pop.
There you go. I was like, the first couple things you said, I'm like, oh, it's not registering very high.
Really?
So I'll just do this in a little bit because I'm doing all right.
That's weird.
Yeah. I think it's in part because I've been tweaking the...
You've been tweaking with settings?
Yeah. I got to say that eliminate dead space...
Yeah.
...tool, oh boy, was that a time saver.
Was it?
Because when Craig mentioned, or was it Devin?
Yeah, I think, whatever. Yeah, Devin.
When that was mentioned that the episode had like this gap in it, or when Craig gave us the feedback that it was like, yeah. Hey, there's some dead air in a couple of spots. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to just go through that one minute at a time and just like delete sections and shift everything.
Well, you know, that's part of this whole game.
Yeah.
I mean, we're...
It's about time I figured out how to do that.
We're figuring that out. We're figuring out the Twitch thing.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? This is Dead Zone the Podcast.
This is Dead Zone the Podcast.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
Hey, you almost got an actual intro that time.
Almost.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi table talk.
So we just finished playing some Dreadball.
Yes, we did.
On
Dead Zone Twitch TV.
Dead Zone Podcast Twitch TV.
Dead Zone Podcast Twitch TV.
Which will get loaded up onto YouTube.
Yes.
Probably tonight of the recording.
So you'll be able to see this before you hear.
Yeah, I've gotta cut out the beginning of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, we were experiencing some technical audio issues.
Audio issues.
Which
it's the same thing. I mean, it's figuring out, it's a whole new
world.
We have to make a reference.
There's some fantastic new points of view that we have to deal with.
New points of view, obviously getting a better webcam for the dice box. Yeah, last night when I was setting everything else, I had it on the other side. Like, it could not see the black at all.
No.
They couldn't see the dice at all on the black side of my dice box. I'm like, okay, that's not going to work. But yeah, so with that, you got to open your Secret Santa gift.
Yeah. So by the time you're listening to this recording, it will be the correct time for me to have opened that box.
Yep.
So if you missed the Twitch stream, what we're talking about is that the Pathfinders, you know, the group of community members that are out there getting games involved, getting stores involved, a great set of men and women.
And doing a lot of online stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because most things are still locked down pretty tight. There's a lot of YouTube channels popping up and live streams. Shane's done some live stuff. Mm-hmm. John Jack over at Triple Fox YouTube.
Yeah.
He's had some live games there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, the Pathfinders have really stepped up their game to try and figure it out. I guess we are...
Yeah, we're working on it.
We're trying to figure something out for you guys.
Yeah, we're trying to do our part. And anyway, one of the Pathfinders and a friend of the show, Taylor, who's over in Wisconsin, this is the second time he's done it.
Yes,
he almost single-handedly coordinates this the Secret Santa painting project
and worldwide.
Yes,
and this was all Pathfinders that wanted to be involved in it.
Yep.
And yours came from overseas.
Mine came from the UK. I still don't think I have the name of the person. I think it was still a secret. I think Taylor can give me that information. And I apologize. But it was... I basically got two fully painted Dreadball teams with coaching assistants. It was the Convicts and the Zizor, which the... For those that didn't get to catch it, I actually played the Zizor for the first time that I've ever played them, right out of that box. And so it was a blast. The paint on it, like, really great job. It was such a great gift. And thank you so much to whoever sent that. And in case I don't say it until I, if I don't get your name and say it to you online, people on the show can know that I am appreciative of the gift. What did you get, Rick?
So I got So a Vanguard Goblin faction starter with a couple extras.
Nice.
From Michael Carter, who is done a ton for the Kings of War universe. And his whole group down there, the Ohio War Kings. So, yeah, he sent me the Goblin starter for Vanguard with a couple extras. So now I have a fully painted Goblin army, which is awesome. Because it was funny because he was talking to me afterward. I said thank you multiple times to him. And he's like, well, you're kind of like me and you have a tendency to collect a lot. Yeah. And you want some of every faction and you want a little bit here and a little bit there. And that's one more faction for me. And the fact that he did an amazing job on the painting made it great. So that's what I received from him. I sent out, and mine's already been posted. I sent my Secret Santa the... What were they? It's the giant for the...
Kings of War, Vanguard, the giant, the Frost Giant?
No. I did the Terror Dudes, the... Oh, wow. Why is it skipping my head?
Oh, the Abyss.
No, the...
Night Stalkers.
Night Stalkers!
Now you got me doing it, too. Where it's like, wait, there's so many like evil factions.
Yeah, that was wild. So, yeah, I sent him the Night Stalker Giant with some skeleton bodies on the bottom and a dead elf. I feel like I gypped him. With what I got from Michael, I was like, holy cow.
I have a little bit of that, too. My guy, I presume it's arrived now, I painted up some Forge Fathers. For him, just a handful, really.
Yeah.
in the grand scheme, it's enough to play.
It is
a force with. But
three is enough to play with Forgefather sometimes.
This is true, but I do like upon receiving this one, I was like, man, we're gonna have to step up our game next year. I think.
Yeah.
So whoever gets us next year, you guys are in for a treat.
I hope
whatever that is.
No, the fact that Taylor did this is so awesome.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I was trying to bug him to call in real quick, but I don't think he can. So, yeah. And then we played kind of an introductory game.
Mm-hmm.
We played six rounds.
Yep.
Just because the way we play games generally takes a very long time.
Yeah, there was, it was a lot like our Dead Zone one that we did previously, where we did a lot of explanation on a lot of the core rules. While we were taking actions while playing, we were kind of explaining why we were making those decisions, how the dice modifiers kind of come into play, which it comes very naturally because we do that anyway, where it's like, okay, this is my dice pool and this is how I got to it.
This is what I lose.
And honestly, for those that are getting into Dribble, I kind of recommend doing it that way because you can catch yourself.
It helps.
Yeah, it helps you remember, and it can also help catch, times where you miss a dice or something like that.
And when you make the decision to call that you're going to end on this pitch, you should probably pay attention to the score a little bit better.
Yeah. I definitely had a flub in the last rush there where I'm like, yeah, I've just scored, but then I moved the score tracker the wrong direction, which like... Basically, I moved it from 1 to 2 points into Rick's favor.
Yep.
When really, I moved it to 0 with my score. And I'm like, wow, I probably should have gone for 2 points instead of 1.
And then so we're in the last rush. I've got the game in hand. All I got to do is score. That's easy. Trickery with the cards.
Trickery, which is a penalty in American football, I think. But we'll let you guys find out. Check out that video to see how that game ends. It's pretty great.
So what else has been going on, Brian?
Well, you may have heard of a little thing called Mantic Day.
Yes.
Which now we're recording after that event happened.
So like we record right before it.
Yep. Literally the week before it happened. Is when we recorded just like a couple days.
Yeah.
And so now, Rick, you did a great job as our roving reporter on the scene.
Sort of. So to be fair for the Mantic Day, so it was another one of those trying to figure out the whole
thing.
And I live fed the sci-fi.
Yeah.
I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
to get everything set up to watch the sci-fi. Boy, was I glad I did.
Yeah.
Seeing what's coming for some of my favorite games. More sub-factions.
Yes.
Expanding the Forge Fathers. The Artificers.
Artificers, yep.
Artificers. Another mech. I can't wait.
Yep. So we'll be linking some of the pictures.
Some of the pictures of the Artificers.
And they do have a recap
article. And the stuff for the Dreadball, too.
Yes, yes. So let's do Dead Zone first.
Okay.
One thing that we're getting, Rick also already mentioned, is a new sub-faction for the Forge Fathers called the Artificers. And so there's a handful of new minis, but one of the interesting things about them is, like, a lot of them now kind of have, like, a third arm. A lot of them come with a little extra appendage.
Yeah.
To presumably serve as, like, hard points to maybe put either extra equipment or weapons, or maybe we're even going to see some stuff on like, repairing mechs. Could be kind of interesting.
Dude, I just think it looks cool.
I mean, it looks sweet, for sure. And with that too, there is a new mech coming out. That's like a giant power suit. You can see a little Forge Father hanging out in there.
Like, immediately when he showed it, the first thing that I thought of was Alien.
Yes, it looks like the power loader.
It looks like the power loader,
with a little Forge Father flare.
Yeah, with a lot of Forge Father. The appendages with the weapons. I can't wait to the stats for that thing and have a blast with that.
And it's designed so that the arms can be, like, they designed it with kind of magnetizing the limbs in mind.
In mind.
So you can change the loadouts. Switch out
those weapons, yeah. I can't wait. Again, thank you, Rob. You've done an amazing job with giving us our mechs.
Yes. More mechs. It's great. Another thing that was mentioned is that there is a new neoprene mat that's going to be coming out. It's very similar to the current one, but it is a bit updated. They have a little bit more on there as far as the design goes. A little bit more kind of, I think there's more blood and more kind of places that look like little boxies. And so it's kind of nice. I think the original neoprenes, a lot of that was out of print.
Yeah. That was out of print, and they're coming. And I believe he mentioned something about when they get that off.
Gotcha. So it's the neoprene mats are really nice. The paper one's great and all. It's all it you does really the need. Job. But the neoprene ones really are solid to play on. And as the last thing I was kind of mentioned with Dead Zone is that they've had mentioned that Kinzavor and Vanguard had been getting some new ratkin, as they are, so some big rats.
So the slaves, the rat slaves for the ratkin, the Veermen.
So that force is going to be expanding a bit.
Yep. So we got a little bit of expansion on Forge Fathers and a little bit of expansion on the Veermen.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we had just gotten more expansion for the Asterians.
Yep.
So they're definitely making it up to put Dead Zone, which obviously it's never gonna,
but
we get that,
we get,
but
that.
For that, for Dead Zone, that's always in front for me.
I won't lie, I was thinking earlier, like, it's I'm excited for these new factions, but I'm already excited for, like,
what they bring next.
And I just to throw it out there, I thought it'd be a really neat idea if we got a plague faction,
a sub faction for the plague.
Because I've been reading the lore book, and there's a lot of talk about how Dr. Simmons was starting her own little thing.
So I would have a tough time with that one, whether that would be... I mean, I know it's Dr. Simmons in the lore book and stuff, but it seems more like that would be...
Based on Labs, would have a pretty good fit for it.
Sounds like it could be one of those things that could be...
Yeah.
A little mix between Maison Labs and, like...
It could be.
I'm not going to argue.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really enjoying Maison Labs. Which we'll have come back to that. So next we have
Dreadball.
Dreadball
has some really exciting things. It feels like it has been a while since Dreadball has seen some major updates, and we're about to get one in this next year. Much like we've had gotten the supplements of the containment protocol books for Dead Zone. and some of the Kings of War gets a regular Clash of Kings kind of supplemental, new rules, errata, and stuff like that. Dreadball is going to be getting their own version of that, and it's going to be coming in the form of the Galactic Tour Magnetar Circuit. I'm like, is that magenta? So it's a new addition, a supplement for Dreadball. It's going to have a bunch of rule corrections that have accumulated over the years. But a new fun thing that they're doing is that they're going to be talking about four new pitches. There's Calvlax 6, which is a swamp pitch.
Yep.
The new Atlantia, which is an underwater pitch.
Underwater pitch. Now that's got to have some world effects to the game itself.
Oh, yeah. I'm super stoked. Ovastar 2, which is a sky pitch. A sky pitch.
Again, there's got to be a factor in
everyone's
there.
Got jetpack. And the, and the Memphis Max, which is a casino pitch.
Yes.
So, like, all that I'm really excited for.
And then you have the models.
There are four new minis that are coming out. A lot of them are coaching assistants that all have their own special rules involved. There's, and of course I didn't, let me bring up the names of them, actually. I didn't have that in my notes.
In
but,
the notes. Hey, see, we've been trying. We even got notes.
There's Flurple, the Hydrator.
And I immediately thought of John Jack.
Yeah.
I totally was like, oh, he should be in his commercial.
He makes me think of that guy on Futurama, the Slurm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he likes to party.
Yep.
Then there's Bracer, the mechanic.
Yeah.
Who also has one of those third arm that things artificer. Like the Artificers. So
the Artificer looks, so that might be one of those dual models.
2021 is going to have a lot of third arms. mutations or something.
Let's not go that.
Then there's a head coach called the Fixer.
Yep.
Who is just a guy that wears a trench coat and a fedora. And there's nothing else of interest on him.
Nothing.
And then the last one is this guy named Thoth, who is both a new ref that you can use and an MVP himself. He kind of looks like the Rebs one, whose name is escaping me now, because he's got wings. He's got a pair of wings.
Oh, yeah.
And the final miniature Thoth, a new ref or MVP playing for the Memphis Max pitch. So he's kind of central
to that pitch.
The casino one. And but when you're not looking, sucker punches and stumps. Thoth is available for MVP. So really, really exciting stuff. It's great to see some more love for Dreadball come into the game.
So it's 4:30 while I'm watching this. And I look at, and Rob is showing, they're talking about it, and they're showing the pictures of these new models. And I see the trench coat and the hat. And you know what immediately pops into my head?
BoJack Horseman?
No. Which is funny. So he's talking about him, and it's the double model.
What are you talking about, Rick?
I don't know.
It's just one dude wearing trench coat.
Is it one dude? I'm pretty sure it's
I'm pretty
two.
Sure it's one. But you're about to refer to your own little mini.
Yes, my goblins.
Your double goblin.
I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Which is just one really big goblin wearing a jacket.
With a cape.
With a cape.
And a big hat.
And a big hat. Yeah. It's just one.
Just one.
So you'll see it in the pictures.
Yes.
Folks. It's great. And last thing of note with the supplement, they're also including historic matches for all of those mats.
Yes.
So again, kind of bringing up the historical matches, which from what we've been told are basically going to be preset teams.
They're going to be preset teams, but they're also going to be preset teams that have gone for league.
Exactly.
So they'll be leveled up, and you will have those hard hitters.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
You'll actually have that chance to relive this game from history, which is kind of like, it's kind of like that whole CN and some Super Bowl from 87 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people,
the Rose Bowl when the Badgers won.
But then you have the chance to maybe turn the tables.
Yeah, it's the game might not play out the same way that exactly. it did in the past.
And that can lead you into an alternate storyline. More fluff.
More fluff. And suddenly we're in Back to the Future mode. Maybe. But no, so that it's great to see some more content coming for Dreadball. And yeah, so that's the core of the sci-fi section of Mantic Day. There's obviously huge announcements with Armada, which is the big
Armada, their new the new big Mortal Kombat game, which I've been able to do one demo with one of our friends, Michael. Unfortunately, the whole idea was I was going to do multiple demos at the game shop, but Michigan got another lockdown, so
yeah.
So I've been trying to figure out how to get demos in. I don't know. I might mask up and do the whole hidden game or something. But yeah, Armada's new. They've got new stuff coming out for Kings of War and Vanguard. They brought up the publishing company that we were lucky enough to interview with.
Wind Hazar Publishing.
I go to say their name, and every single time a Wind Hazar song gets stuck in my head.
They have a theme song.
it does, yeah. Which is funny, because that theme song leads me to something I've been talking to one of our other friends that's not a social media person. George wants to make a whole Knights Army and do the full display board with this Wind Hazar song playing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was that'd talking to me sweet. About it. I'm like, that's awesome. but yeah, so they had a lot going on. Unfortunately, I only recorded the sci-fi stuff. I was in and out all day long, listening and talking, watching some of the conversation with Ronnie at the end. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And they had other things like sculpting demos and things like that.
Yeah, sculpting, the Q&A, Hazar published Kings of War.
And this is all, they also have a full recorded version of themselves on their channel up on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's several hours long, so you can put it in the background.
Definitely several hours long.
While you're hobbying, you know, you just kind of put it on and you can listen to Rob and folks talk.
Yep.
But it was a really cool event and really exciting stuff coming up in the future here.
Hey, I'm Chopper.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Rob.
From Mobile Armor Radio.
And you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian in the morning.
Never heard of it.
I don't even know who those guys are.
Yeah. Mantic Day.
Yeah. I want to go to Mantic Day so bad.
It'll be so cool.
Well, and like we got the unfortunate Adepticon.
Yep.
So unfortunately, we won't see our friend.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. It still sucks.
Yeah. It's something where it's an early announcement. It's probably, as of right now, with as many unknowns, it's probably the smarter move to save resources rather than trying to book a hotel and then having to walk it back.
Go through the whole process. And it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's understandable. But this will end it. We will be slamming drinks and playing games again. So speaking of playing games, I don't know if see, this is a horrible thing about you making a chart, because I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
Didn't we have an episode called Derailed? Anyways, I'm going to derail us. You've been playing Dead Zone.
Well, it's funny because that's in my show notes to talk about.
Dang
that.
It!
So you just can't see that it was the next thing I had. But yeah, so I've been I was playing through the Nexus Sai solo campaign with the Rebs
in the Plague One. The Plague One
may have taken Nexus Sai, but we didn't want it anymore. So it was really fun playing Dead Zone. For one thing, is always a blast. Playing Dead Zone campaign is always a bigger blast.
Yes,
and. And then playing it with the artificial stupid rules is a whole nother level. Like another person I was actually following on YouTube is Clash of Dice on YouTube.
Okay.
Has recorded his own playthrough of the solo campaign of Nexus Sai.
Oh, nice.
Just in the last couple months, I believe. He played Forge Fathers.
All right.
Going through it. And he was even playing like the challenge mode, which has even more zombies thrown in the mix.
Right on.
And he did a great job. I'll be linking his show in the notes below. Definitely check it out. But it really is a different experience. Ultimately, there were a few rebs that were lost along the
sacrificial
way.
Sacrificial lambs, per se.
Yeah. So it's a 4-mission campaign. So it's
yep.
In the most part, it's pretty quick. But you go from basically, taking over a little outpost, surviving a first little wave of zombies. It's all plague. Three Z's, and so they the big thing is that they have with the artificial stupid rules is basically that they don't have a traditional turn. They react to actions that your everything player does. Now it's funny, the first time I tried playing the solo campaign, I still played the Rebs, and it was brutal. But it was brutal because I was doing it basically. After you perform an activation, is when the zombies react, and so it's like if you shot or you were in combat, they're gonna move closer. If they see you, if you end in a position where they see you, they're gonna move closer towards you, and there's a mechanic that's generating noise, which I'll talk about in a little bit. So what was brutal about the first time I tried playing it is I misread the rule. And I did every action that they react. And so my character moves. Zombies. All these zombies move in.
My character shoots
zombies. And it was like, I barely made it out with like two guys in that first mission alone. And I'm just like, man, how do I even bounce back from that?
So it's cool because you set up... And that's the thing with the Nexus Eye is, yes, it's meant for... enforcers. Mm. That's what it's written. Mm. But it has the elite list. But what it allows you to do is take campaign from the core rulebook and build yourself a 300-point list.
Yep.
From experience in playing some campaign stuff, don't take just one leader.
No, you take multiple leaders.
So we were talking before. So you posted some amazing figure setup. And through all your game was awesome. And then you showed me his left. And I was like, wow, that'd be really cool to fight that. So I will be doing my own Nexus side camp.
Which is pretty exciting.
I've made my list. 300 points of Maison Labs.
300 points of Maison Labs. Who are your two leaders?
Doc and Commander Grave.
Good choices. You could have two Doc Ox. I don't know.
I guess you could. Technically.
They're twins.
It's a clone.
That is actually the more likely scenario.
It's a clone. So I've made my 300 list. I grabbed out my Nexus side book. I've got a little painting to do because I'm going to take some lab tech.
Yeah.
I don't usually take lab techs, but there's just something about the whole, if I'm going to do this, I want it to be that that last ditch effort of this group from Maison Labs. So yeah, I even brought some lab techs I'm gonna paint up.
That's pretty cool. I'll give you a heads up. Getting in melee with the zombies is not a great plan. Because if because they can move in and start fights as part of the reaction.
Yes.
They almost every time my guys got in a fight with them, it ended poorly.
Even your crazy ape?
Well, he just wrecked house. It is kind of neat, though, because the first mission is a 100-point list you put together. Second mission is 150. The last two is whatever you have left in that 300 points. and the whole thing is, like, you know, the third mission, you're trying to move that entire force completely across the board and off. Anyone that doesn't make it, you know, is gone and doesn't move on to the next round. With that last one, it's you basically have... 4 cubes worth of guys can survive.
And you had some guys that had to stay back, didn't you?
I did. I had to leave
my... That's not a very Reb thing to do.
See, they volunteered to stay behind. Yep. One of my sphere hunters had lost his cousin who had fallen earlier. And so he had a blood frenzy in him. And he's like, I gotta stay... and take out as many as I can. And then there was a trooper. His name was Bill. He's like, well, I gotta stay.
Why does everybody have a trooper named Bill?
With Mitri over here, I've got to stay. He's my friend. I'm not going to leave him alone. And then I had a survey drone. it was like, well this
survey, what's left?
Well, you're taking a spot. We already downloaded what he had. So I definitely wanted to keep my Teraton and my Simian Brawler, who both take up three spots.
Yeah. So obviously. So this falls outside of the normal rules of Dead Zone. Because what we're going to do is, after I play Nexus Psi, the survivors of your group, which is not a legal list.
Which it was no longer a legal list.
We'll be playing against my survivors, if they have any.
You might not have any lab techs left, is what I'm going to tell you.
I'm pretty sure there won't be any lab techs left.
I get the feeling they're going to be on the outskirts as you're moving your whole force across this map.
Just go over there. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go check out that plant right over there.
So we've talked before on the show about how you do play the game differently when it is a campaign. You've got a lot more considerations of, okay, I want to get these guys experience points, so I want to make sure that they are getting out there, they're doing some damage, and surviving. A big part of it is to make sure your team survives. In the Nexus Psi campaign, you cannot replenish your troops. In fact, the whole mechanic of having supplies and things like that is gone. You don't track that as part of the campaign. Yeah. And you cannot even bring vehicles. The whole idea being is like you're making a mad dash to escape. It's that extra consideration is really a fun, what makes campaigns really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And so the other thing with Nexus Psi, with the artificial stupid rules for the zombies, because they react this certain way, every time you're performing loud actions, you're generating noise which can draw in more zombies and spawn more. So you're also very conscious of that, where it's like, okay, I could move here. I could take out this guy really easily. But if I do that, I'm going to generate more noise. I'm going to draw more people to me, which could start fights and get more people killed, as it were. So it's a really unique way to play. But it was an absolute blast. I recommend it if you really have had that Dead Zone hankering. I believe Nexus Psi's campaign book is... they've had it available online as a digital release.
I think it is.
It's spelled Nexus Psi, not Speed.
Nexus Speed.
I'm just curious if it's free. Yep, it's as of this recording, it is still free to download. Still
free, that's awesome.
Which is, goes to Mantic's,
helping support drive their community. This. Yeah, because obviously, so one of the Michigan things with this whole lockdown, semi-lockdown, because I work retail and I'm still working. But they want you to limit the number of households that...
You keep your circle small.
Keep your circle small. Obviously, my circle is very small. I have you, and I have Michael that come over. So I've kind of drawn the line there. But this allows you to play the game. And really, it actually allows you to test out some army.
Yes.
Obviously, your army is going to play different against another opponent, but... With everything that you have to do survive this, it helps you understand some of the tricks that you really know that you had.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a small advantage to playing a solo
game. And just, if you haven't played a campaign before, it can really show.
This is a great one to do!
This is a great one to do, because you can really learn how it's like, okay, I'm gaining experience with these guys. They're leveling up. You can increase their stats, find great combinations of... a Teraton is really good when it's solid and can't get knocked down.
Yeah.
things like that. Giving your leader tough so that they can survive. Rebs are squishy is what I'm saying, guys.
Yes.
Definitely check out the Nexus Psi solo campaign. If you've been really hankering to play some Dead Zone and for whatever reason, no one's nearby, and unfortunately, circumstances as they are, check out Nexus Psi and just play a couple rounds, get the hang of it, and You know, there's, you can play it again with a different force too if you have multiple.
Yeah, definitely.
And but yeah, so that's the solo campaign stuff is really cool. And I won't lie, it has intrigued me on the whole concept of making a more fleshed out AI system for solo play. So I'm not going to commit Deads on the Podcast to that because I've already done enough. But it's something I think I'll pick away at in my free time as it is.
Hey, it's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0, this is stupid.
So, picking away at something on our free time, that's for myself. So, Bradley has a friend of the show. Mm-hmm. He also lives here. He does a lot of board games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's super involved. He did all the PDF files, Star Saga.
Yes.
And is now doing that from Dungeons.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Releasing the stuff for Dungeons. He finally got out his Dead Zone stuff.
Ooh.
And he posted a few pictures, and he's trying to figure out, and he's got some additional scenery from some other game. And he asked me a few questions about scenery.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and as I'm making a couple things for us, for a mm-hmm. project that we're working on, I'm thinking of throwing together a little video, that introductory level scenery
mm-hmm.
to the complex scenery, the additional, the uncertain scenery,
yeah.
the isolated, those types of, to like a game that we've played before where we alien type planet stuff with
yep.
rock formations and stuff that are not traditional and kind of show
more organic.
Different, yeah.
Yeah.
And show different ways of setting up board, but also show where we and some other Pathfinders and tournament organizers when setting up multiple boards for tournaments and how to do that symmetrical look so it's fair and consistent on every
yeah.
table. So that's
while still being a really interesting board to play.
Yeah. I mean, it's really easy to play Dead Zone as a paintball.
Yeah.
But we play something like Nexus Psi. We want that radar tower. We want mm-hmm. that landing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always different. I really want to talk about it, but I'm not going to because it's sitting right there in my face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm gonna work out something like that. I don't know if I'm just gonna do it as pictures. I don't know if I'm gonna live stream it, but that's what I'm working on the next step
to cool.
throw out there because it's been asked for it. So
yes,
let's do it.
And speaking of, you mentioned uncertain scenery. We actually did an interview with Craig, the founder and main man over at
the one and only.
The one and only. It's great. The episode is live.
Yep.
By the time you guys hear this.
By the time you hear this, you've already heard that one.
Probably. But if you haven't, definitely go check it out.
Go back and listen to it.
We've
Craig's awesome.
Yeah. And we've the interview stuff that we've been doing. I think we kind of mentioned before, has actually been a really fun.
I've really enjoyed it.
It's been a great time to connect with people, talk about the hobby in different ways than it's just, you know, the two of us talking at each other about all the crazy stuff that we want to do. So it's great to get that extra voice and to give, you know, expand the platform a little bit and get our community content that they are maybe not otherwise getting.
Yes. And speaking of, I've actually set us up with two more interviews. One I'm super excited to talk about.
The other one you're not?
Well, no. So it's two completely different worlds. It really is. So yeah. I'm excited that we're getting the opportunity to talk to Kyle. I'm not going to mess up his last name. But Kyle is the North American sales rep
mm-hmm.
for Mantic Games.
Yeah.
I'm super excited to talk to him because he has a different view on obviously, from a player person, we don't get all of the other information sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to see how long it's going to take the two of us to bust him into Dead Zone.
Probably not too long.
Just saying.
That's not a threat. It's a promise.
So, yeah, I'm super excited. I'm figuring out dates with him to figure that out, to get an interview with him. And on a whole nother scale of excitement, John Jack has said yes to jumping on here with us. And the reason why it's a whole nother level is because for the past year, we've mentioned on almost every episode different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So John Jack is the reason why we have...
Yes.
John Jack is the reason why we have the Dungeon Saga Barroom Brawl. And I know he's worked on some other ones. There's one with the Wingets. He did this racing one.
He did, didn't he do the jet bike racing? Or somebody did.
Somebody did. But he did one with the Wingets.
Okay.
For Vanguard.
Gotcha.
He did a flying one. I know that. But like he takes the games and just goes nuts with it.
He's super creative.
He's also the one that has cosplayed.
Yes.
Negan.
Yep.
He did, my favorite, the first year we went to Adepticon when we officially met John Jack and got to share a room with him was we got to see him in his Dreadball outfit.
Yep, yep.
His excitement, I think, is definitely on a separate level.
He brings a great energy to everything.
Yeah.
And I'm just remembering, like, one of the games that I've played against him was a very... bad game of Vanguard. Not bad because of either of us. We misremembered the rules.
Oh no.
And it just didn't go great.
I remember that.
You remember that.
Because I was there, because that was at PAX.
Yeah, that was at PAX.
We ended up playing, you guys were playing it pretty much Kings of War style.
We were. I'm trying to remember, I think that was my game against John Jack. But anyway.
Anyways, yeah, so... I've lined up both of them, and I just got to get the dates and everything squared away. So in that process, there's definitely a lot of other people, because I'd love to get Taylor on here.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor is one of those Pathfinders that we have that he was really quiet, except for he knew his Walking
Dead. Yes, he knew that game cold.
Yeah, amazing the stuff that he was doing with Walking Dead. But then he jumped into Dead Zone, and he's gone wild with it, and I love it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, what we were talking about at the beginning, the
Secret Santa.
He's another one that I'd love to get on here.
Yeah.
And there's some other random people, some artists out there, because there's something about getting an artist on a podcast to talk about their artwork to give you insight on different ways to paint.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I'm wrong, but at least for myself, I love getting that information. Because I want my paints to continue developing something better.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of stuff
lined up.
And which is kind of why we don't have our next map scenario plan.
We've got it for our campaign. We've got it kind of planned out.
We just want to make sure we play it and play test it, really.
Yeah. Which that first one was easy because it made sense and it was done. This one, it's got a little bit more tooling to do to it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, we had the thought of doing it tonight, but we did want to make sure we got some dreadballing, because it had been a while, and we were feeling like we've been focusing a lot on Dead Zone, which
Dead Zone, the podcast.
It is Dead Zone the podcast, but it's
Dead Zone, Star Saga, and Dreadball.
So we want to make sure we continue to give those things some love.
Correct. So bringing up Star Saga.
Yes. So the audio. I've got a baseline recording of the summary, and so what I'm planning to do is I want to pep that up a little bit. I think I'm going to grab some of our raw recording of us playing the game and insert it in, rather than playing the whole audio clip of us hanging out and rolling dice and stuff like that. I'm gonna grab the highlight reel, as it were, to kind of be the main focus of those. So
And maybe we'll get some live Star Saga in there.
Yes, I think much like we did with Dead Zone and Dreadball, I think Star Saga is going to be
Star Saga out there, and maybe that's a situation where we could spread it out enough, and we can bring Michael in.
Yeah,
I'll not saying that we'll be able to have that third player, but if he's willing, and we can do like even just do a random mission, but to get Star Saga on the map is
yeah. We love that game. We don't want to, you know, for 1 second think that we don't. We just we've been spinning a lot of plates, and we just want to make sure that we are making sure every game is getting that attention that it really deserves. Because they're all of them are so much fun to play.
The entire Warpath universe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, and obviously, we don't touch a lot on Warpath. And
Yeah.
And for me, a part of that is because Jared started doing it.
Mm.
It makes it, I'm excited.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like I was talking to you earlier, Jared actually contacted me. He was like, hey, I was going to post today, but then I saw you guys went live today. I'm like, it's okay. And he's like, yeah. Nah, I'll let you guys have it today.
Golden
like,
the Gamer. Yeah.
Because he delves really far into the Warpath universe with Firefight and Warpath.
He's got a lot of great insight into it.
And maybe we'll get that chance to sneak in, get him on here.
That would be a lot of fun, too.
Yes. So, anything else on the docket today?
You know, that really covers a good amount. I think that's a... We can kind of wrap on that.
That's a wrap!
That's a wrap. It's a raptor! Ah! Man, dinosaurs in Dead Zone. Make that a faction.
Boston Miniatures. Boston Miniatures has the, he has those little dino, like, sci-fi dinos with laser guns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he posted those. He has those on his website. It's like, I'd play them. Give me a dino faction. Okay.
I know we got the giant sumo lizards, but like...
Yeah.
And there's that one Dreadball character who's riding some kind of... I don't think it's a maw beast. I think it's some kind of lizard.
Yeah, I think it's yeah.
So, more of those guys. Yeah. Lizards.
You get the Zors. I still like the idea of either the Zors or the ones with the forearms.
The Chorus.
Yeah, the Chorus. I would love to see them.
Yeah.
Even if you gave them to the Rebs, I don't care. I want to see them.
Yeah.